In the corner, Marchessault up to the slot. Miller shooting. Knocked down and trickles into the goal. To rush up the left side. Nosek is in. He shoots and scores. Tomasz Nosek. On the right side wall. Tipped out. Here's Carlson. He's got an unabetted path. Left circle. Carlson alone. He scores. All through his legs. Carlson shorthanded. 3-2 Knights. Oh, can you believe it? Face-off won by Belmar, puck to the corner, cleared out of the zone, and that's it! The Knights win the Pacific Division in their inaugural season!
And welcome in, good Wednesday, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for the Golden Knights in Las Vegas. Frank Harnish, Clayton Hamilton, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, here live at City National Arena, because it is Development Camp Week. And a lot of the young future stars of the Vegas Golden Knights are here and joining us right at the top of the program. Our good friend, we spoke to him last year, Mr. Will Nickel, in charge of the player development. Will, thanks for making some time for us.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Frank, Clayton, and Ryan. I like the nickname. That's great.
Run with it, right?
Yeah, that's right. I didn't see a fight in it.
And of course, Chris Chapman back in the studio hitting all the buttons to make sure that everything's going smooth today. So, Will, your second development camp here with the Golden Knights.
Yeah.
What have you seen this year that maybe we didn't see last year? Obviously, City National Arena, beautiful facility, the two ice rinks, a lot of things here, fan excitement now that they're kind of a little bit more familiar with the team. But what else is going on as far as some of the player development that you've seen from a year ago?
Well, you just obviously, before we get to that, let's just make sure we go back and thank Bobby and his staff at the Vegas Ice Center.
Oh, for sure. Great
year,
job. Yeah.
Bishop Gorman for the weight room. And I mean, they did such a tremendous job, and that was a first class experience. But yeah, this building is state of the art, right? So that's obviously a big change for us. But you look at the players and you look at whoever, you know, Nick Hag, you look at Brännström, you look at Ben Jones, the draft picks from last year, or a free agent from last year like Jake Slaker, Wyatt Egge, and the fans, the coaches, everybody gets to see how these young men have grown over the course of a year. So I think that to me is something that stands out the most, and then the excitement about seeing the new crop. The new crop of players.
Yeah. What? Tell people what you were doing during the season when you were around. I know you spent a lot of time in Sweden with Erik Brännström, a guy that I know a lot of people are really excited and high on.
Yeah, so I acquired a lot of frequent flyer miles, that's for sure. I think I hit 155 games. And my job, you know, simply put, is I go where the prospects are at. So we had three guys in Sweden. We had Branny, we had Lucas Alvenus, and we had Jonas Rönnberg. So I did spend a lot of time. I went to Sweden three times, and then two of those guys made it to the World Juniors for Team Sweden and Team Denmark. Spent quite a bit of time in Canada. So if you want me to go right through it, I was in Portland with Cody Glass. I was in Kamloops with Dylan Ferguson, Regina, Saskatchewan with Jake LeCision. I was with Dylan Coughlin in Tri-City, and then in Ontario with Nick Hag in Mississauga. I was with Owen Sound and Nick Suzuki. I was with Nick Campoli in the Toronto area, and I was also with Benny Jones with Niagara, and then the USHL. So, which is close to my home in Madison, I got to go down to Chicago and see Jack Dugan. I got to see Maxim Zhukov in Green Bay, and I got to see Yuri Patera in Cedar Rapids, and then, I also spent quite a bit of time with our American League team in Chicago.
So, in looking at Erik Brännström, if he gets over here and plays next season in North America, do you think that that's going to maybe fast-track him to the NHL, just kind of getting used to the North American game here?
Well, I think there's definitely advantages. Listen, obviously the Europeans do a great job, okay, but the NHL is in North America, and I think I know where you're going with that question, Ryan. I think it's a great question. Shows your knowledge. And so you have the culture of North America. You have the smaller ranks in North America. You know, when he played over in Sweden, he was on an Olympic-sized sheet. So speaking the language all the time, just everything, yes, does that help? I have found that it does help when the guys, you know, come over and spend some time here.
What is the biggest adjustment from playing in the bigger rink to the smaller rink? Is it just that everything's a lot more compact and you don't have that open ice?
Yeah.
Because we know Brännström, when we saw him last year in development camp, one of the things that he really likes to do is be behind the net and do that big breakout pass. Maybe it's a little bit easier on the big ice when the defensemen aren't so, you know,
so close to you that maybe they can close in a little bit
quicker.
Yeah,
so for the fans who maybe don't know, in Europe they play on an Olympic-sized sheet, and that's a bigger sheet of ice. It's wider. And that's what you're getting at, Frank, is the big point, is you have more time and space than you do on the North American sheet, which is a little bit narrower than over in Europe, and things tend to happen a little bit quicker here in North America on this sheet of ice.
And in doing that, is it easier for you to kind of keep tabs on his development and make sure that he's doing the right things, maybe when you're not with him, if he's just a couple, you know, here in the States?
Well, it doesn't really matter where our guys are at. You know, that's my job. You know, Bobby Lowe's and his staff do a wonderful job drafting them, but really when they are drafted, Bob Lowe's and his staff, they're done with that player, and they come to me, and then they become my responsibility. So it doesn't really matter so much where they're at, especially today with technology. Is it maybe a little bit easier for George to fly to a game if he's in North America, or Kelly to fly to a game? Yeah, logistically, I think that makes things a little bit easier. But in terms of the development, we're going to develop these kids wherever they're at.
When you sit down with each of the individual players, I imagine if you got 60 guys in camp, you have 60 different plans and 60 different goals for each one of them. What is the communication structure between you and the player and the organization about what their goals and expectations are for them over this week and over the year?
That's a good question. It's you know, I taught high school for 2 years, and I find it to be similar to a classroom where no kid learns the same way, and they have different strengths and different weaknesses. So I think part of my job right away is to get to know the kid. And I think kids today are pretty dialed into what they need to work on. And it's almost my first test with them is, well, what do you think you need to get better at? And if it's not what we're seeing, you know, then I think that we have to teach them how to assess their game. But once we get that figured out, then, you know, Scott Jones, who's our skate and skills coach, Gary Roberts, who oversees the prospects with their strength and conditioning, myself, we come up with a plan for the kid. What we don't want to do is we don't want to get in the way of their hockey during the season, but at the same time, we need to help them get better. So, like, Nick Hague, you know, Scott Jones spent time with Nick Hague this year and worked on his skating. Gary Roberts spent time with him on strength and conditioning. But we did it in a way where it didn't get in the way of his performance with Mississauga. We didn't want to get in the way of his team. So there is a bit of a balancing act there. But I also think, you know, those guys did a good job because Nick has made some really good steps.
Vegas Golden Knights Director of Player Development, Will Nickel, joining us here. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show live from City National Arena. You still got time to come on down here at 3 p.m. for the next session of the development camp today. Then there's we'll give you the schedule for the rest of the couple of days coming up here as well. But I want to ask you this, because when it comes to the players, and you mentioned the 60 different players, how is it determined where they're going to go and where they're going to play? Because we know Cody Glasswood in Portland, Owen Sound, like you mentioned, Nick Suzuki, Eric Branstrom over in Sweden. You know, some of the guys may be going to the Chicago Wolves or something, but I know a lot of them don't go to the AHL. So how does that get determined? I mean, do they pick? Is it their agents? Or does the team kind of send them in different places? And is there an advantage at a certain point to try to all get them in Chicago or someplace else so they get that chemistry of working together more?
So you're not talking about when they're 15 or 16,
yeah,
when Portland selected?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're talking right now? Yeah, so obviously the development camp and the training camp in September with Cody or Suzuki or any of those guys, they're pros, you know, so they're going to come in and they're going to have to perform. And obviously George and Kelly and Gerard talk about what's the best spot for each kid and why. I'm in on those conversations, but like I always say, my job is to make suggestions, and then George and Kelly are going to be the ones that make the decisions.
When it comes to the players and where they go and who you have in the organization, you look at a kid like Alex Barry-Boulet, who was here last year, gets signed to an entry-level contract. He's off to Tampa. How dialed in are you on players in other development camps and trying to find talent that maybe has gone there but is not somebody that's restricted or signed with a particular organization?
Yeah, we have a pretty good pulse on where the guys are, who's at what camp. I think where it really kind of comes into play is in the fall with rookie camp. But we put a lot of value and a lot of stock into the free agents that are here. So whether it's a Barry-Boulet, we actually had a bunch of kids. Well, when I say a bunch, there's quite a few kids that we had here that had signed, but as a group, we looked at those players, not just in development camp, but also in September. And for one reason or another, we didn't think that they were the right fit or at the right time. But a kid like Dylan Coghlan was. And we signed Dylan Coghlan last year. He was a free agent. So we try to get the best free agents in here so we can look at them, and then we can make a decision. We can't get them all in here. So we will track guys at other camps, and it usually happens in September.
And when you're talking about the development camp, for the people out there, again, that don't know exactly how all this process works and everything, how do you determine what players come here to this development camp? Because every team has development camps, and players have options that go in other places. Do you try to fit a certain type of player or something you come in here to work chemistry-wise in that? Or is it you look for the best players available that you can bring in for the Golden Knights to make it the strongest camp you can? Or is it always players that you're looking at that maybe someday they could be a piece of the puzzle?
Right. Well, it's a very competitive. Mike Levine would be a great one for you guys to talk about the free agent side, because he really has kind of taken the lead with that. He does an outstanding job. But he, and I know because I work with Mike, you can invite some kids and they might have 20 invitations.
Right.
So I'm going to use Zach Whitecloud as an example. It came down to us in the LA Kings last year with where he was going to go for development camp. He actually thought they were at different weeks of the summer, and he was going to come to both. When he found out they fell together, he had to make a decision. He had already committed to LA, or he committed them first. He kept his word. That told us everything about him as a human being and his character.
Yeah, so
even though he went there, we continued to recruit him, watch him, and we knew he had the character we wanted because he kept his word, even though he didn't come to us. So Jimmy Schultz this year would be the example. Jimmy Schultz had quite a few teams that wanted to sign him as a free agent. He's going back to St. Cloud State, but we feel fortunate to have him here for this week, show him what we're about, and then we also get to spend some time with him and evaluate his play.
Yeah, I'm sorry, real quick, about Whitecloud, I just want to throw this in, because sometimes we hear the phrase addition by subtraction. Mm-hmm. In that case, maybe that was it. You didn't get to see him live in the development camp, but you learned more about him from his character and everything else, so he became an addition and somebody that maybe looked even more like somebody that you were interested in because of the fact that, okay, he gave his word. Yeah. That's exactly what Bill Foley and George McPhee are looking for.
Well, characters, as you guys know, I mean, it's everything to this organization. So to answer your initial question, we scout all year, and we try to find the best players. But if they're not good kids, they're not coming.
Right.
They're absolutely not coming. So it's not just being a great hockey player. It's the Golden Knight way, and they have to fit into that. And then we get the kids here, and we try to evaluate them as hockey players.
And on the topic of Zach Whitecloud, where's his game now, and how close to NHL ready do you think he is?
I think his game has continued to grow. But I think he's got a lot of growth ahead of him, and I think that's what's exciting. And I think Zach would tell you that. He just has a lot of things, I think, that you can't teach. He's a classic late bloomer, right? He went through the draft 3 times. He was never drafted. And he would have had all 31 teams that would have signed him last year as a free agent. So obviously, there's a lot there. But as we know, the NHL is the best league in the world, and there's still a lot more in front of him. But his want to get better is outstanding, and he will get better.
Will Nickel joining us here, Vegas Golden Knights, player development. Okay, so tell people a little bit about what is your job here at the development camp, and what is it after that? Because
besides talking to you guys,
we say it all the time. Most people think this is the off season. Yeah. There really isn't an off season for you.
Yeah. So the camp, you know, it basically started on Sunday. The returners flew in, and we had them come in a day early so they could feed the homeless on Monday with the Catholic Charities. But the week, is it a long week and is it a blur for me? Yeah, it is in some cases, but it's also a wonderful week because I love the kids. I feel very fortunate to get to work. This year it's 42 kids. Last year it's 44. So it's really fun. Am I going to sleep a lot on Saturday night when it's all done? Yeah, so is everybody else. It's not just my camp. There's so many people that help out with this camp. It's just I get to be the one that sits down and talks to you guys about it. But it's whether you're a fan, you can come out and see everybody and get to see these kids before their Golden Knights, or whether you're us in management and you're evaluating them, or whether you're the kids, it's just a wonderful week.
Last year at development camp, one of the guys that certainly stood out was Alex Tuck. Somebody who didn't necessarily have to be there, said he wanted to be there. Yep. He was with the youngsters, helped them learn their game, picked up a lot himself, and just had a breakout year and really opened the eyes of everybody around the NHL.
Yeah.
Is there an Alex Tuck type player at this development camp that you can see a potential for? Maybe somebody that has a chance to make this team next year and is going to be a big addition to the Golden Knights.
Well, two parts to that. There's not a kid here that didn't have to come. You know, Tucker didn't have to come, and he really wanted to. And I think that tells you a lot about him, is he wanted to help create the culture right away. You know, in terms of it's we're going to go out for the third practice. So in terms of, is there a guy that I think is going to have a year like Alex Tuck? It would be great. I'm not sure. But I can tell you, I think that we're looking for people like all the second-year guys. You know, whether it's Nick Hague or whether it's Suzuki or Jack Dugan. We haven't talked much about Jack Dugan. Jack Dugan had an outstanding year this year. We expect him to make steps, but really this week's still about an education. Come September, that's when the guys are going to come in and they're going to try to make the big club.
George McPhee has mentioned that when it comes to young players, he'd rather overcook them than undercook them. In other words, I'd like to make sure that a guy is ready. And even if he stays down and doesn't make the big club right away, that's better than bringing somebody in before they're ready and maybe have a confidence shaken or something like that.
Yeah.
What do you think of that philosophy? And given that philosophy, is there a chance that we're going to see some of these kids maybe on the Golden Knights next year? Or do you think that maybe they're going to be a little bit more protective and make sure that they're 100% ready to come here instead of bringing them along too soon? I mean, everybody knows about Nico Hischier and some of the youngsters out there this year, but not everybody is a Connor McDavid or a Nico Hischier.
Yeah, well, you just kind of answered that, right, with that observation. What I think of the philosophy, you know, I think you guys know I worked with George in Washington. I came with George. I love George. And he is the general manager of the year this year, so I'd say he's got a pretty good pulse on that, and I agree with it. The thing that I can tell you about George is when he does think somebody's ready, they're ready. And I think that's what you learn with Alex Tuck this last year is people could have said, well, he needs a year in the American League or whatever. I think he spent 5 or 6 games maybe in Chicago and had an outstanding 5 or 6 games, and George felt he was ready. So what happened? The example I would give you is when he and I were together in Washington, was with Tommy Wilson, who at the time was 19, and he had such an outstanding training camp. George felt he was ready. Guess what? He was in Washington. So I think he's as fair a manager as there is. He doesn't really care about where you fell in the draft, free agent, any of that. It's you're in the room. Here's a sheet of ice. Show us what you got. And I think that's the best way to do it. So I love that philosophy.
Yeah, the only thing George did wrong was he did too good a job in Washington and building that team for this past season. Thanks for your time very much.
Thanks, Will. Thanks, guys. It was really fun.
Appreciate it. Always a great time here at the development camp.
It was really fun. Thanks, you guys. Appreciate it. Yeah.
Once again, Will Nickel there. And we are going to jump right into it again because we got a one of the young players here. And you might remember this name from last year at development camp. And actually had a big game to really get everything started with his hat trick at the start of the season. Tyler Wong about to join us. By the way, if you're interested in what's going on at the development camp as we get Tyler set up here, there will be practices today. 3 p.m. the white team will practice, then 5:15 the gray practice today at City National Arena. But joining us now, the man with the first hat trick, Tyler Wong, joining us here, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. How you doing, Tyler?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing good, thanks. Good to have you back here. What's it like here in your second development camp with the Golden Knights?
It's amazing. You know, for me, I've never gone to 2 consecutive development camps with the same team, so it's nice not coming in with a lot of nerves and being a little shy, you know, don't know anybody. But now, you know, there's lots of guys here that I've talked to throughout the year, played with, and become friends with. So it's nice to kind of, you know, reunite with them in the summer and hang out by the pool when we're not skating and stuff. So it's been really nice. And, you know, I've gotten to know the organization and just looking to have a good impression on them again this year.
Tyler, how are you a better hockey player now than you were last year?
I think the biggest thing for me was getting that first year of pro under my belt and kind of learning. For me, I'm an offensive player. I score goals. That's my strength, is my shot and creating offense. So learning how to translate that into the professional game. So obviously, You know, I didn't have the biggest year offensively in Chicago, but, you know, we had a really good team and a lot of older players. And, you know, I was asked to play a different role, and I developed, you know, I played a lot of penalty kill. I played some center, which I haven't done a lot before. And, you know, I just rounded out my game a lot. And, you know, at the start of the year, our coach, Rocky Thompson, said, you know, like, you might not be put in situations to score goals. You might not be, you know, when there's a face-off in the offensive zone, you know, some older guys and, you know, that are on the first and second line might head out there. And, you know, you'll be asked to PK and block shots. And that's the role you're going to have to try and buy into. And, you know, for me, you know, he asked me to, and I did it to the best of my ability. So, you know, obviously for me, I think that to have that offensive game, but also to round it out and be able to play in all situations is huge for me.
We certainly did see you score goals back on that very first preseason game. I remember sitting here in this building at this table with these guys, 9-goal performance, 3 of them by you, and the sentiment at the end of the game was, you know, don't have the expectation, fans, that this is going to happen every night. This is not going to be that special of a year. It turned out to be so for the Golden Knights. Did you have a sense, being around the players and the guys that ultimately went on to be the Western Conference champions, that something special was brewing from day one?
For sure. You know, I think the difference between organizations is, you know, you meet George McPhee, you meet Will Nickel, the player development guy, Gerard Gallant, and, you know, they all, they remember your name, they ask you how your family's doing, ask you how the season's going, they all genuinely care about the players, you know, and you know, they picked a team of guys that are good people as well. You know, I went to Toronto's camp, and a lot of the older guys, you know, didn't really talk to me or you know, didn't know who I was. And last year I came into the main camp, and you know, like guys like William Carlson and Cody Eakin, I was playing with them for a bit, and you know, they'd hang out with me and talk with me and be like, you know, like, don't be nervous, like, just do your thing, you know. And that feeling of you know, when older guys, like, they don't care that they've played in the NHL for 10 years. They just, they want to see other people do well. They want to see their team do well. Doesn't matter who's on the first, second, third, fourth line. It just is matters as team success. And, you know, that's what I think, what watching them play and hearing about how close-knit the team was what made them successful, you know. And on the good teams I played on is the teams that are like that, you know. And obviously, they had guys buying in, and, you know, they had a lot of guys have careers because of that. And obviously they had an amazing season and an amazing run in the playoffs. And, you know, for me, I just took a lot in main camp there and in the preseason, and really want to learn from that and carry that forward into this year.
You mentioned hanging out with guys like William Carlson and Cody Eakin. When you're watching them from a distance this past season and you see them, and they're certainly guys that play the all-around game, and Carlson and his running mates, Jonathan Marchessault and Riley Smith, both come out and say, look, before the season starts, we want to be full 200-foot players. And then you see what they're doing offensively, but also defensively, and the plus-minus that they're all accumulating in that. Does that inspire you and give you even more incentive to really work on your entire game? Because you said you're an offensive player, but to really make it in this league, you have to play everything, and that certainly came to your benefit with all the different roles you played in Chicago this year.
100%, yeah. You know, for me, I like skating with Marchessault last year, and watching him throughout the season is he's a kind of a role model for me, a guy that I would like to model my game after a little bit. You know, we're similar size guys. You know, he wasn't a high round draft pick that was instantly made the NHL. He had to play a few years in the American Hockey League and work his way up, and now he's a bona fide star in the NHL. So you know, like you said, like, they were all very high in the plus minus column, and killed penalties, and were also very high powered offensively line. So you know, for me, I think that to be able to develop this year my defensive side of the game, to be able to kill penalties, and you know, I didn't lose my offensive instincts. You know, it was still there. It was just a little bit more difficult to produce. So, you know, this summer, you know, it's big for me to be able to translate that off the ice, to get that extra step and put myself in a good position next year to you know, have a shot to make the team.
This week, what are you trying to take out of it heading into main camp?
I think for me, you know, I'm one of the older guys here, so you know, I'm expected to be kind of a leader to the younger guys, and you know, I want to, you know, there are some really like four guys that are 4 years younger than me that, you know, it's their first camp, and you know, you can see a little bit of nerves out there, and to help them, you know, and be like, you know, you're here for a reason, and help them out, and no need for nerves and stuff. But, you know, for me, I'm really focused on myself, is showing the coaching staff and showing the general manager that, you know, like, I'm developing and that, you know, I'm going to be an NHL player one day, and I believe that. And, you know, that's been my goal since I was, you know, 3 years old, and, you know, I'm still striving for that. And, you know, I just want to show them this week and then the rest of the summer and then going into main camp that, you know, I'm making strides towards that.
Do you get any time to enjoy Vegas at all, or is it all just hockey?
You know, like I said before, you know, we have a lot of buddies that are pretty close on the team, like Kolasar and Wagner were in Chicago, and Reed Duke, and guys like Nick Suzuki and Cody Glass and Nick Hague all got called up, so we hung out in Chicago. And now, you know, like whenever we get off, we go sit by the pool, hang out, or go for dinner together. So it's pretty nice to it's a pretty nice place to go, especially this time of year when it's so hot, to go jump in the pool and stuff. So it's a pretty fun week. It's a nice little vacation for us, but with a little hard work as well.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for your time. We appreciate it. Enjoy your time over at Red Rock. Try to stay cool out here in the summer, and look forward to seeing you in Chicago, but hopefully up in a Vegas Golden Knights sweater sometime soon as well. By the way, in Chicago, my friend, my best friend lives in Algonquin. He now comes to the Wolves games now that they're not St. Louis's team, so now that they're Vegas's. So I know you got some new fans back there because of that, but great job back there, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot. Tyler Wong there, one of the future bright spots here. Imagine that. He says that, you know, there's people on the team that are 4 years younger than him. People 4 years younger than me still get the senior discount over at Red Rock, for crying out loud. All right. When we come back, we're still going to hear from Zach Whitecloud. We're going to hear from Ben Jones, possibly Gary Lawless today. Lots more to get to here live from City National Arena. It's the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. Welcome back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, live from City National Arena. It is Development Camp 2018 for the Vegas Golden Knights. Frank Carnage, Clayton Hamilton, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, joined now by Mr. Ben Jones from the Niagara Ice Dogs, but also here with the Vegas Golden Knights Development Camp. Ben, thanks for making some time.
Yeah, thanks for having me out. I'm really happy to be here.
Yeah, now, okay, now, you're here at the Development Camp here. You were here last year at Development Camp. What's the difference between this year and last year, and what's improved in your game in the last season?
Yeah, well, to start, I mean, we're at City National Arena. We're not at the public facility, so that's a lot nicer. But, I mean, changed in my game. I've really put a lot of work into my skating and kind of my stride. I knew that was a big thing inhibiting me, so that was really holding me back. So I knew I had to put a lot of work into that and just try to improve every day.
What are you working on in your game? What do you think the strengths of your game are right now, and what are you still working on the most?
Yeah, I think my strengths are a 200-foot center. I kind of take pride in my D-zone first and penalty killing and such like that. So really taking pride in the D-zone and penalty killing, but I also want to kind of elaborate on my offensive game and try and produce more and put up better numbers.
You had a jump in production last season as opposed to two seasons ago. What led to that? Do you think it's just paying attention to defense, putting yourself in the right positions to then maybe transition onto offense? Or is it just physical maturity, getting bigger, faster, stronger?
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a combination of both. I mean, coming to this camp last year, they really gave us a lot of tips and tricks and showed us how to be a pro. So I tried to bring that to my junior team and just continue to improve every day. And I think that really led to the big spike in production this year.
And then looking at this week, what are you really hoping to get out of that you can maybe adjust and apply to your game moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the speed out here is pretty high tempo and a lot higher than in junior hockey, so to try and take that back to the team and kind of show them and be a leader for them on kind of how to be a pro and what it's like to be at an NHL camp is something that I really want to do for the team, and I think that'll help us out in the long run.
When you look at players that are currently performing at the NHL level and you try to project yourself as taking aspects of their game and working it on yours, who are some guys that you sort of emulate or you're patterning your game after?
Yeah, a big one I've always kind of looked at was Jonathan Toews, leadership-wise. Obviously, where's the seat for Chicago, sorry. So being a leader is something I really pride myself on. And there's a lot of similar aspects of his game that I like. He really takes pride in his D-zone, and he's kind of a reliable guy, whether it's the last minute of the game, the first minute, up a goal, down a goal, kind of guy that coach can look to, and just he's responsible for everything. So a lot of his game, I think that transitioned into mine as well.
When you talk about a guy like Jonathan Toews, and he doesn't always have the flashy numbers of a Patrick Kane, his teammate, or something like that, but he is the leader on the ice, off the ice, and he doesn't necessarily get a ton of goals, but he gets the big, important goals. How do you work that mindset to work as being a leader like that? Because we hear guys working on, we know how to work on a slap shot, you know how to work on your speed in that, but how do you work on leadership?
Yeah, I think just being willing to kind of sacrifice everything for the team at the end of the night, winning is the most important thing, regardless of if I'm scoring the last goal or if a teammate's scoring the last goal. Kind of just being able to realize when your team needs a goal and needs your big guys to step up, and being willing to kind of be that leader and get the guys going at the end of the night is kind of a big thing for me.
How much, when you're in a development camp like this, it's nice getting with the guys and it's nice doing all the workouts and that, but how much are you kind of chomping at the bit to actually start doing some scrimmages and get some on-ice playing against each other instead of just going through all the drills?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we're all here together. We're all on the same team. We're doing pretty much everything together. We got a 12-hour day today that everyone's side-by-side the whole day, but you're always kind of measuring yourself up to the guy beside you and the guys on your line and the guys on the other team. So obviously we're here to kind of send a message and kind of put our name out there with the Vegas organization. So it's great to be with all these great players. I mean, there's a ton of guys out here that are fantastic hockey players, so it's great to be able to see that and kind of measure yourself up. But at the end of the day, you want to kind of step above them in the ladder.
When you look at what the plan was for you at the end of last year's development camp, and you look sort of what the plan's going to be for you for this year, how has that changed, and what is the plan for you?
Yeah, I mean, head back to junior this year. I think have a great year there, and have a great care. Sorry, head back, and first of all, you got to train this summer, and then come back to camp and kind of send my message again and put my name in the mix, and then assuming I'll be heading back to junior. So have a great year there again, and then go from there. I want to have a great year back with the team, and hopefully we go for a great run this year. And I mean, I think we have the team to do it.
All right, well, we truly appreciate the time. Real quick, because another one of your teammates is threatening to sit in here, do you get a chance to experience anything in Vegas that you enjoy, or is it just all about hockey?
Pretty much right now it's all hockey. I mean, we got long days, so it's pretty much all hockey right now, but we head down to the strip and watch a Cirque du Soleil show in a couple days, so that'll be really exciting to see.
All right, well, try to stay cool out there. Keep on hitting the ice, and look forward to seeing you in the scrimmages here later on this week.
Thanks for having me on here.
Thanks a lot. Ben Jones joining us here from the development camp, and another nice guy. And Ryan, we got another guest about to sit in here as well.
Yeah, we got Brandon Cruz standing by, so as soon as we get him into the chair, we will start that interview, which should be fun. I'm excited.
Yeah, Brandon Cruz here. He is also on the gray team, so he'll be practicing today at 5. And then again, we do have some scrimmages coming up here later on this week as well. We'll give you all the rundown on that as well.
I believe he's going to be playing with Ben Jones.
Well, there you go.
Line. I think we got that. So, Brandon, how excited are you to get to the scrimmages? Obviously, the practicing, that's all important, but how excited are you just to go out and play and show what you can do in a game setting?
Yeah, I'm obviously really excited. Obviously, we play the sport to play the game, and the game's the most funnest part, so we're grinding during the week, and then obviously looking forward to playing the game.
How's this experience been for you the last couple of days?
It's been unbelievable. This is my first time in Vegas. It's everything I could have wished for, and everyone's really welcoming, and the whole place has been unbelievable so far.
You're at Bowling Green. How much pressure is it that you're coming in George McPhee's alma mater? Does he have an extra special place in his heart for you?
Yeah, it's pretty special. I mean, the whole Bowling Green community kind of looks up to George, and he's a superstar at that campus. So obviously I'm just going to do my best, and hope he appreciates what I can do for this team.
We know that some of the players, they'll take a junior route or different teams and that. Some go the college route. What made you decide to go to college in Bowling Green and that? I mean, I know Frozen Four is one of my favorite things to see every year in that. I do love the college hockey, but what made that the right road for you to take?
I mean, ever since I grew up, my dad played college hockey for Michigan State. That was kind of one of my goals, was to play college hockey on the way to go to the NHL. And then Bowling Green was like one of the schools that I just felt the family atmosphere and the community they had, and one of the only schools that really gave me an option to go play for them as soon as possible, and it was just a perfect situation. Everything just panned out perfectly.
When it comes to your game, what would you consider your strengths, and what are you most working on that you'd like to improve?
I'd probably say my skill level, my hockey IQ, and my pace for the game. It's pretty up there, and then probably just my size, strength, and working on my shot.
When it comes to a development camp like this, I mean, you want to work on all the fundamentals and everything, and I know you guys work on that, but how excited are you and how much are you waiting to get out there and actually start the scrimmages and that and get some real game action against some other guys from all over the place that are potential NHL players like yourself?
Yeah, I'm super excited. And during the summertime, obviously, it's just a bunch of training on and off the ice, and you don't get to play too many games. So
Just really looking forward to getting on the ice and playing an actual scrimmage. It's been a while since I played an actual game, so.
Has there been an eye-opening moment from, you know, when you go from the way you do things at the high school level in practice to the way that you do them at the college level to the jump to the way they do them at the NHL level that you're like, wow, this all of a sudden makes sense to me because of what I've learned here?
Yeah. Obviously I've noticed a jump from juniors to college and then being here. This is like your occupation. You got to treat your body as perfectly as you can, and there's so much stuff that goes into it off the ice, on the ice, what you eat, how you prepare yourself. So, yeah, it's been really eye-opening so far this week.
It's not just that, though. I mean, with this organization, they really pride themselves on bringing in character guys.
Yeah.
And just what does that mean to you to be kind of a guy that has character, that was selected by this organization, that puts character just as high as ability on the ice?
Yeah, it means everything. For myself, I think I'm a pretty motivated person with good character. I've been looked over a lot my whole life for being small and stuff. So for them to just give me the opportunity and to have a chance to prove myself and to be in this organization that proved everyone wrong this whole entire year, it's an unbelievable situation for me.
Take us back to draft night. What was that like? Who were you with? How did you find out the news?
I actually got done working that morning, and then I went and grabbed a bite to eat with one of my best friends back home. So I was at Buffalo Wild Wings watching the draft. I didn't know if I was going to get selected or not, and then next second I saw my name appeared, and my friend just started jumping and screaming, and I was kind of lost for words. I didn't really say anything. My stomach just kind of dropped, and then phone calls started happening, and you know, I just thanked my family for everything and all my close friends, and it was a really special day for sure.
Did everyone at Buffalo Wild Wings look at you like you were a crazy person? Were they confused as to what was happening?
I don't really think they had any idea what was going on. Yeah.
When it comes to the Vegas Golden Knights, how much of the story did you get to watch last year, and what were your thoughts about it as it transpired?
Oh, yeah, it was unbelievable to watch every single game, and then going to the playoffs, just turning into every single second of it. I was even tweeting about the games and like how fast they played. It's just, it's enjoyable to watch, and it's good for the sport of hockey.
All right, well, 19 years old, you got a bright future ahead of you. You get to enjoy anything out here in Vegas, or is it just 100% hockey?
Was at the pool for a little bit yesterday, but yeah, basically hockey for now.
All right, well, enjoy the pool, stay cool out there, and look forward to seeing you the rest of the week out here at Development Camp.
Thank you so much.
All right, Brandon Cruz there, 19 years old, future Vegas Golden Knight, and of course, check him out with Bowling Green. Maybe they'll come here to T-Mobile again. Maybe you'll see him in a Frozen Four. Who knows?
Yeah, but the Ice Vegas Invitational, maybe.
Yeah, so lots of chances there as well. Gary Lawless going to join us next when we come back and close up the show here live from City National Arena. It's the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. All right, welcome back. Let's jump right into it here. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, live from City National Arena. Please turn me out of audition there because I'm hearing myself back, Chris. We are here with Ryan the Hockey Guy, Clayton Hamilton, Frank Harness, and joined by Gary Lawless. Gary, I miss hearing you and Dan Duvin the third periods, man.
Me and Dan miss, Dan and I miss doing the third periods. It was, we got almost over 100 games, though, over the preseason, regular season, and playoffs. So, actually, it must have been over 100 games, right?
109.
So, a lot of work and a lot of fun this year. I think back to when we first, you know, the first time I ever did anything with you guys, who would have known this would have unfolded?
Yeah, absolutely. I remember coming in there. You came in the studio and we were talking about it and welcome you from Winnipeg with the Jets and the Blue Bombers up there and everything, talking a little hockey. And I don't think anybody knew what was going to happen over the course of the season. With it now being a little while, have you had a chance to reflect and really thought about what this season meant to the Golden Knights, to the city, and everything else out there? Because we all basically got to live a dream as it unfolded right in front of us.
Yeah, I don't think we'll know for, you know, 3, 4, 5 years what it actually meant to the organization and the community. I think we're going to watch that unfold. I think that it was really the start of the organization and pro hockey, National Hockey League hockey, leaving its imprint on this community. And
here with Gary Lawless, City National Arena.
Yeah, and it'll, you know, over time, I think we'll really see that, you know, the season ticket base, the demand for tickets, people want the TV ratings, the radio ratings, all of those things I think are going to be been given a great chance to really flourish as of what after what happened this year.
I really wish we had more time, but we're coming up against it. Yeah. But real quick, how different do you think the team will look next year?
Well, I think there's going to be, you know, most teams have four or five new faces. And the thing here is that most teams bring a couple guys up from, you know, from the American League. Well, they just drafted their guys last year. So, you know, I'm not sure that, you know, maybe Jake Bischoff's ready for some games. White Cloud, you know, we'll see how Nick Hague develops. Glass and Suzuki probably going back to junior unless they come to camp and really, you know, force George McPhee's hand.
All right. Well, we appreciate the time for Ryan the Hockey Guy, for Clayton Hamilton, Gary Lawless, Ben Jones. Thanks to Sage Salmon for all he did, Will Nickel, and Tyler Wong as well. TC Martin's up next. By the way, scrimmages Thursday, Friday, and Saturday here. Check out VGK.com. The doctor is on the way. Have a great night.